Okay, this is your seat, Josh. Okay, so today we're going to speak about Yitzchak's Tefillah and how it's so different from Avraham's Tefillah and how it can provide a different voice for davening. So many different voices of davening. Don't try to shape every single davening in the same conforming pattern. Different parts of your life, different moments, different days, different feelings. Let your davening be natural. Let it reflect where you are, but let it be passionate and meaningful and encountering Hashem and different types of davening. So Yitzchak's davening is a little different. Unlike Avraham, whose davening is described through the word Amida, we talked about how davening for Avraham is space, and the core of davening is space, and Makom Kavur, and encountering Hashem. For Yitzchak, Vayetze Yitzchak, Lasuach Basada. Yitzchak is speaking to Hashem in the Sada. So the obvious issue that leaps out at you is the word Lasuach. We typically interpret the word Lasuach to be something very informal, conversationalist, interactive, let's have a sicha, let's have a conversation. You wouldn't think that tefillah should be described that way. The truth is, it's not the only time that tefillah is described with siach. Tefillah lani ki yatov, lefnei Hashem yishpoch sicha. Kuf mem beis, we say sometimes in yeshiva, eshpoch lefanav sichi, tzarasi lefanav agid. So you see that there's this almost contrast between siach and tefillah. There's something very formal about tefillah. There's something very informal, low-key, natural, conversationalist about sicha, as opposed to eshbach lefan of sichi, tzarasis. It's not screaming to Hashem, you're tzaros, it's siach. And the truth is, if you look at the parsha and parsha Chayisara, there's a lot about Yitzchak's tefillah that seems to be very low-key and different from the classic formal tefillah where you approach Hashem. So first of all, where is this happening? Avraham's tefillah occurs in his makom. And that's why Chazal trace Avram to the trait of Makom Kavua, El HaMakom Asher Amad Sham. So obviously we don't know where it was. It wasn't a holy place inherently like Yerushalayim, but it was the Makom Atzvil, the place he went to. He left his routine to daven. Yaakov's Makom where he daven obviously was Har Moriah, Vayifgaba Makom Vayelan Shem Kiva Shemesh. Whereas Yitzchak's Tefila is in the middle of the field. Some field somewhere. Fields are very large. You don't go back to the same one place any 2 days. We've been in huge agricultural tracts of land that could be acres and acres and acres. He's near the stalks of corn. He's near the stalks of wheat. He's near the wells. And he's davening. Number two is, when is he davening? Avraham and Yaakov daven at very, very dramatic moments. Vayashkim Avraham baboker el hamakom asher amad sham. He wakes up and he runs to tefillah. Runs to tefillah. Yaakov is alone. It's at night. Vayachalom v'nei silam mutzav arza. According to Rashi, it wasn't just that it was a dramatic moment, but it was a dramatic astronomical event that the sun set early in order for Yaakov to be there. So according to Rashi, it wasn't just the evening, but it was a premature evening. It was when Yitzchak davening, Chazal tells us it's mincha time. You don't need Chazal to say, that's in the Sada. You're not in the Sada in the morning, you're not in the Sada at night. You don't sleep in the Sada. You're at work, you're in the afternoon, you're at classes. So Yitzchak's verb is very informal. His location is very informal, his time is very informal, and his content is very informal. What is Avraham davening for? As I said yesterday, 2 days ago, he's not really davening for stone because they've been incinerated already, but for all intents and purposes, it's the stone davening. It's the post-stone davening. He's trying to make sense of Hashem's divine justice. Hashem quotes the last Mishpat, but said that the day before, but you can imagine, on the day after, it's an even more poignant question for him. So Avram's davening is full of very dramatic content. Yaakov's davening is extremely dramatic. Please, Hashem, rescue me, protect me, save me. V'shafti b'shalom al beis avi. What's Yitzchak davening for in Chayisara? I'm sure he's davening for something, but there's nothing contextually that he's davening for. There's no crisis. There's no fear. There's no particular need. We don't really see his life before, right? We see the life, that time frame we see in Avram. Not right. We don't really know what Yitzchak was out there. I'm sure he's davening for something, but there's really nothing urgent. So the entire picture of Yitzchak davening, the entire portrait of Yitzchak, is very, very informal as opposed to tefillah. Location, time, content, verb. Evidently, there's a part of tefillah in which you just talk to Hashem about your life, about without there being a need or an eis tzara, l'fei Hashem yishpoch sichi, tzarasi l'fanav agid. You're just, a lot of times, people look for Kavan and davening, and they say, I'm going through so much. I'm having illness. I'm having challenges. I'm having financial worries. I'm having anxiety. I'm having uncertainty. I'm not feeling well. And I can't have kavana. Let me clear my mind from all those worries and inhibitions that I can have kavana. And the answer is, that's your kavana. Talk to Hashem. Share whatever's on your heart with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, as opposed to tefillah. Tefillah is moving to a different place, standing in front of Hashem, specific location, de'ulif ne'miyatim omdin, a little bit of ema and yira, where sicha is a much more naturalist, conversationalist. Talk to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. There's so much what we're going through now as a people, and there's so many deep emotions, and how can create a conversation, a dialogue with HaKadosh Baruch Hu that isn't as formal as standing upright and at attention and reverence in front of Hashem and pouring out your needs and your requests and your feet. It's just sharing what you have. And sometimes it can seem trivial. Ah, Hashem really wants to hear about my girlfriend? Okay, if that's what's important to you, that's what's weighing on your heart. Hashem really wants me to hear about, sports. I can assure you he doesn't want to hear about sports. Whenever you people say I was an act of God and the football gods and Hashem, I can promise you one thing. Hashem could care less about sports. Don't ever believe that Hashem decided that the Yankees should win or the Reds. That's an almost pseudo-heretical concept. I've heard boys wonder, well, if they win, there'll be a Kiddush. No, believe me. Hashem doesn't care about sports. If you want to watch sports, it's great. But the only thing Hashem has is Kacha Bratis about sports. That'd be demeaning to our Kiddush Baruch Hu. But whatever you say, I wish I weren't thinking about sports that much today, Kiddush Baruch Hu. But my mind is racing, so I'm just so involved and just, take whatever you... Wherever you are, whatever place you're in, it's not an elevated, vaunted, transcendent tefillah. It's meeting Hashem and having a conversation, a cup of coffee, as we would say, wherever you are. Now, here's the thing. For that to succeed, you really need to have Hashem in your life, not just during davening. When I go home at night, last night I saw my wife for the first time at 12 o'clock. Busy day. I mean, midnight. Okay? We had a little conversation. We were both exhausted. We weren't at the table. Whatever, we're going to sleep. But let's assume we were at the table. So when I go like this, imagine I'm sitting at the table. I haven't seen my wife the whole day. I have a kavana. Pass the salt. No. Why? Because even though I haven't spoken to her the whole day, she's been on my mind. I hope I've been on her mind. WhatsApp a couple times. We coordinate our activities. When we'll be home. Can I pick something up for you? You need some food? How are the kids? Whatever. We're always on each other's mind, even if we're not speaking. And then, when we actually see one another, then the mindfulness that was always in the background becomes in the foreground. That's what davening is to your relationship with Hashem. Shavisi Hashem lenegdi sami doesn't mean you're thinking about Hashem every minute. I hope that when you're driving on the roads, you're not thinking about Hashem. You're thinking about pedestrians and other motorists. Hope that when you're performing surgery, you're not thinking about Hashem. You're thinking about which leg to cut open. It's only if you're my surgeon. So Shavis Hashem, you're learning Torah, you're not thinking about Hashem. You're thinking about how to crack open the tussles. So Shavis Hashem, doesn't mean you think about Hashem every single minute. You know what it means? You live a lifestyle which Hashem is always there, and it reflects, oh, why am I a good surgeon? Hashem wants me to be. Why am I a careful motorist? Hashem wants me to be. Why am I learning tussles now? Because I want to understand what's in Hashem. And then three times a day, you turn on the faucet, and Hashem goes from being in the background to being in the foreground. But it's a natural transition. Just like when I see my wife and I say, hello, how was your day? Whatever, it's just natural. So until then, I've been thinking about you remotely. Now I'm thinking about you personally. You know what it's like? If you open Word on your laptop, how long does it take to open the program? It's like 2-3 seconds, depending upon your CPU and your speed, whatever, RAM. But what if Word's already open? It's minimized in the tray table. And then you click on it, it pops open. That's what Shavis Hashem learning. Hashem is always open. The program is always open. It's minimized. Because right now you're working on another program. But then all of a sudden you daven, you click on the program, and Hashem's right there. That's why davening is always such a great barometer for Avodas Hashem. And Torah isn't. People tell the story incorrectly that in the European world, where people were married based on arrangements, father would come to the Beis Medrash and ask the Rosh Yeshiva, give me your biggest Talmud Chacham. I have it on good evidence, that's not the way it happened. The father would come in and say, give me your biggest davener, your best davener. Because davening is always a better barometer for your overall relationship with Hashem than Talmud Torah, because Talmud Torah could be very much marginalized and isolated. And you see this with Yitzchak. Rivka chooses Yitzchak because he's davening. Now, of course, she doesn't choose Yitzchak, but at least textually, this is a parallel scene, right? So it's Be'er Lachai Ro'i. The scene of Rivka takes place in the Be'er of Aram Narayim. That's where Yitzchak chooses Rivka through Eliezer ben Avram, and now Rivka is choosing Yitzchak at Be'er Lachai Ro'i. Now she doesn't really choose because she's been already taken, but at least the Torah wants to see that. Why was Yitzchak chosen for Rivka? We know, right, Rivka was chosen for Yitzchak. Why was Yitzchak chosen for Rivka? It's Yitzchak v'soch masada, because she sees in davening. So if you really want to work at davening, try to work at bringing Hashem into your world the rest of the day. If you feel Hashem's presence the rest of the day, then davening is just a natural and doesn't have to be this formal. So again, getting back to what I said earlier, sometimes davening will be more formal. Sometimes it'll be vayama, l'makom sh'amacham. Sometimes it'll be tefillah. Sometimes in a regular average day, not much on your mind. Let's say there's no war, there's no hostages, you don't really feel like there's any particular need. You're in a very Sunday morning feel, you know, a cup of coffee, you know, Vancouver feel, you know, you're just very relaxed, and you just come from a walk around the park or something. Say, Kaddish Baruch Hu, what's on my mind, what's on my heart? I've got some things that I'm going through right now. So I want to share it with you. And again, even if those ideas are streamed through words that don't correlate to them, you're reading a Perek in Tehillim, Bonei Yushalayim Hashem Netcha Yisrael Yechanes. What does that have to do? What does that have to do with Josh and your life? And okay, like I told you, maybe one day you'll be a big tzaddikim and you go to the mikveh every morning 5 times before davening, and every word will have Olamos Elyonim. Right now we're in Olamos Tachtonim. Right now it's focused on the Tachtonim. That just means you get in front of Hashem, you say words. If you say words, that Chazal were misakin, and your mind is thinking about Hashem, about sports and girlfriends and work and family and whatever, that's fine. That's a successful davening. One day you'll bridge the two. But don't try to daven for someone in a way that you're not. It's always bad to try to act as an Oved Hashem beyond your league. It's very dangerous today. The second that we hear a gadol story, this gadol, this minhag, everyone takes the minhag. That's not the way it's supposed to work. For that gadol, the minhag makes sense. For this katan, there are other areas that make sense and areas that don't make sense. Mashalamad davar doma. Let's say I get very excited today. I read Parshas Paloscha. The son, while we're Miriam and I were talking about Moshe, they separated from Tzipora, and there was Lashon Hara, but the Maisei did separate from Tzipora. I'm going to separate from my wife tonight. So I always be in a moment of being able to be Kabbalah. That'd be horrible. Because what's right for Moshe Rabbeinu is not right for Moshe Tarragon. What's right for this Gadol isn't right for you. So just because there's a Gadolim story, this Gadol did that, and that Gadol did this. Okay, one day you'll be that Gadol and they'll write stories about you. Right now, what's the Midah that's right for you? And especially with Tefillah. With Tefillah, because anytime you're play-acting, you're posturing for someone you're not, your Tefillah is a forge. Your Tefillah is fraudulent. Hashem wins, Karv Hashem, L'chol Krov, L'chol HaShek, Uv Emes. For the Emes, you have to be yourself. If there's a lot on your mind, okay, so maybe you can get it off your mind certain days. Maybe you can't get it off your mind. So then talk about a Kaddish Baruch Hu with that. Bring Hashem into the room. Have a conversation with Hashem. Like Yitzchak did in the Sada. Like Mincha. Mincha time, sometimes when I interview boys, I say, what's your favorite davening? And some will say Shacharis for this reason, that reason. Some will say Maariv. Some will say Nila, whatever. Some guys will say Mincha. Why Mincha? Because it's right in the middle of the day. Right in the middle of my classes, 10 minutes in the middle. And now one can say, what do you mean? That's a horrible tefillah, because you're thinking about your test and sometimes, you know, just stop in the middle. Talk to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, check in with Hashem. Remember to Hashem, one day you'll be a father or a parent. Call your children, check in. What's up? Do you need anything? No, just say hello. How you doing? What's up? What's on your mind? Okay. Speak to them. Check in with HaKadosh Baruch Hu and share what's on your mind. Okay? So that's Yitzchak's tefillah. We're barreling towards Yaakov's tefillah. We'll talk about another tefillah Yitzchak in the beginning of Toldos.